and he's beautifully colored, and everyone who knows anything about that fellow knows you've got to stay clear of him, because the poison that is on his skin, that exudes from his skin, is poison that will kill you instantly. And so they take this stuff, the natives of the Amazon, they take this poison from the glands of the skin of this creature, and they put it on darts or arrows, and they use it to kill animals, or to at least to stun them so that they can catch them and then kill them. And so what you have here is two very opposite things. You have something that you could not miss. It stands out in the jungle. And then you hear something else that you would easily pass by. I want you to ask yourself the question, why is it that one is careful and why is it that the other is not? The poison dart frog, he doesn't care whether you see him or not, because he knows you can't eat him. He knows that nothing can eat him. I mean, his only danger, if one of those Amazonians decides to use his poison for his darts or his arrows. In other words, he has nothing to worry about. Nothing in nature eats him. The chameleon, on the other hand, he's a rather tasty dish. And so because he fears, he tries to camouflage, doesn't he? Because he's afraid, he tries to blend in. But what I'm suggesting to you tonight is that God's people should not be afraid to stand out. We should be more like that poison frog than we are like the chameleon. And yet I suggest to you that in this era that we find ourselves in, this is a time where more people are like the chameleon than are like that frog, unfortunately. And so that distinctiveness of which we speak is very important. When a church of Christ loses its distinctiveness, it is no longer the Lord's church. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, that the Lord knows precisely how and precisely when to remove the candlestick, as the Lord put it, so that one is not any longer a church of Christ. And so recognizing how the church loses its distinctiveness, I believe is important for each and every one of us to know. It can help us to continue to be the Lord's from day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, generation to generation. It can keep us out of the world. It can keep us from being misidentified with the world. It can keep us out of the religious wilderness of denominationalism. And so it can aid us in maintaining our status with God. Let me talk to you about what indicates that a church is losing its distinctiveness. In the first place, loss of conviction. Congregations that stand proud and stand strong are solidly founded and are perennially grounded in biblical truth. However, the problem with that is we live in a day and a time when most of the people around about us think that conviction of any sort is ridiculous. The reason being, because truth is considered to be relative and not absolute. Relative and not absolute. Now think about what absolute truth means. It means that a thing is absolutely wrong, or a thing is absolutely right. It's not in between. But you know that in our time, there are no absolutes. If anyone claims that there are absolutes, he is made fun of. He is mocked. He's considered some sort of fool, some buffoon who belongs to a bygone age that believed in absolutes. We no longer believe in any sort of absolute in our day. But let me take you to the biblical narrative. And I would explain to you that everywhere you turn in the biblical narrative, you will find evidence to the effect that God's people believe things absolutely. Absolutely. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Paul says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved." Now watch this. "Who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Notice the terminology, the truth. If you were to go into a college environment today, and especially in a philosophical environment on a college campus, if you did this in the math department, you'd be all right. You'd be just fine. Be okay. If you did it in the science department, where you're talking physics, for example, you'd be fine. But if you're talking philosophy and that sort of thing, and you began to talk about something being the truth, you would be mocked. Is that fellow insane? What does he mean by the truth? Does he think that he has cornered the market on truth? What is wrong with that fellow? Who made him God?